Well, we're going to be talking about praying for Christians. Other Christians, basically. You know, so we talked about praying for people that aren't saved, people that are lost. There's certain things that happen. Obviously, when you come into the family of God, now things are different. So there's a difference. You can't pray everything for a lost person that you can pray for a Christian, because it'd be like, you know, a citizen of another country doesn't have all the rights that a citizen of the United States has, right? You could want certain things for them, but they don't have the rights and privileges that we enjoy as citizens of the U.S. So even though you'd want certain things, you have to work within the system. They have benefits. We have benefits. We have certain laws that protect citizens of the United States. They don't protect citizens of a different country. Well, when you become born again, you are citizens of heaven, of the kingdom of God. That's different than just being a person that's a citizen of that whose father is the devil, like we talked about. So you can't just pray everything. Even people do this all the time. They're sincere. They're praying for people that are lost, but unless you pray according to the word, it's not going to do any good. It doesn't matter if our intents are right. People are sincere, but it's just be like, hey, they go to the U.S. government, help this person. This person should have these rights. This person should have this ability. It doesn't matter if you're sincere. If they're not a citizen of the United States, they don't have the same rights, period. And that's the same way with Christians. So we talked about how to pray for somebody that's not saved. Basically, it's to get them into the kingdom of God. God, Holy Spirit's drawing them. The Holy Spirit's leading them. The word, they need to act on the word of God. And so we can pray certain ways. We're not speaking about that today for the lost person, but it's essentially to work within what we have with the Holy Spirit working in him, the word working in him, to get them into the kingdom of God. Because they are in the kingdom of the devil. And so even though we want to help them in certain things, they're still in the wrong family. And their daddy bats them around all the time. So we have to pray within those guidelines. Well, now we're talking about praying for people that are in the kingdom of God, that have the rights and privileges that Jesus bought for them, paid for. Now it's different. Now we can pray certain ways for them. They have rights. And whether they know those rights or not, they have them. So we can pray in a certain direction along with the Word of God that tells us how to pray, and then we can get results that way. And that's what we're going to be talking about, and this won't be just today. We're going to set on this for a while. Is how do you pray for people that are Christians? How do you pray for your loved ones? Or, you know, people, if they've been born again, they might not have certain bits of knowledge, which is one part we'll talk about, but how do you go about praying for them? And it's a different way than people that are unsaved. So let's start in Ephesians 6:17. Now, so you know, up front, we'll be giving you this at the end, but I have a sheet that we're going to go through these scriptures. And a lot of these scriptures that we're going to go to, we're not going to start going through some of these prayer scriptures. We're going to kind of lay a little bit of a background. But then we're going to get to scriptures that show how Paul prayed for Christians. And you can take those basically and pray for yourself and for people. And I have a sheet that goes through and already puts those scriptures in a format. They're made, the format that I have is basically praying them for yourself, but then you can insert, you know, anybody's name and change them, you know, and if you want, I'll email you that. If you send me an email and say, I want that, or, you know, if you know, you tell me afterwards, I'll email you that, and you can have it in Word format, and then you can take it and modify it however you want. I'm just telling you that up front to help your, if you know you're not trying to note take or whatever, I'm going to give you that. In the scripture sheet that I just gave you has all these scriptures on it in the original form, just so you know that, so you don't have to duplicate effort there. Ephesians 6, verse 17. So Paul's just gotten done talking about putting on the whole armor of God, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, we don't wrestle against people. Okay, there's spirits behind people, and we've talked about that. There's spirit. The devil's, you know, prompts people, just like God prompts people to do stuff. The devil prompts people to do stuff. He's trying to get people to do stuff. Have you ever seen where, and maybe you've had it yourself, well, I know you have, if you're a human being, you said, you'll have some thought or some thing come in, you're like, where did that come from? That's not even me. Or you'll be just, some people have done this, they say, where they do something very wrong or crazy, they say it's almost like something just took over me. It was not me. Yet, who are they yielding to? They're yielding to the enemy. They are demons, and they're prompting people to do something, and they yield. They're like, it's like something told me to do it. Well, who was that? It's the enemy. He was telling them to do it. So we're not wrestling against people. People are sometimes just pawns. They're getting knocked around. They're getting pushed. Their buttons are getting pushed. And we all have buttons that could get pushed. And the enemy likes to try to push our buttons too. At the same time, God's speaking to us. And in this context, this is what Paul's talking about. He's saying, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God and deal with your world in knowledge that you're not just dealing with people. Don't fight against people. So in that context, and he says to put on this armor. And then verse 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's our weapon. That's our sword. The word of God is our weapon. It's our sword. Praying always, you have two weapons. The word of God, he says, is one of them, and the other one is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Supplication, that's prayer, that's petitions. And then he goes, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But in verse 17 and 18, notice he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now notice he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he says to pray. So we want to pray according to the word of God. We take the word of God, which is our weapon. That's our weapon against the enemy. It's to take up what God has told us to do. And when we're praying for somebody else, it's to take up the word of God and pray for them. That's how we do it. We don't just make up prayer saying, well, this sounds good, so I'd really like this to happen. No, this is our guidebook. This is our weapon. We pray according to this. If we'll pray according to this, God's already backed it up. It's already going to work. That's how we pray. And so many people, like we've talked about way back at the beginning of prayer, are just saying, they're just throwing up prayers and hoping they're going to work because they think it should. And people get mad at God because they don't. Well, God didn't show up. God didn't make it happen. But they're ignorant. It's because of, and I'm not saying everybody else is ignorant, our ignorance. We don't know everything. But on this level, when people are just saying, well, this ought to work. God, where are you? Make this happen. And they're not cooperating with the way God has said it to do it. And then they blame God when things don't work. And I'm not saying it's hard and we have to know tons and tons of things. No, what we basically have to know is that Jesus has done everything for us, that he's given us rights and privileges, and we just need to take up and say, no, Satan, this isn't going to happen because Jesus has already paid for it. No, Satan, that's not going to happen because Jesus has made a way. But if you don't know that and you think, you know, people that aren't even saved are praying to God, they're getting knocked around by the enemy. They're not in a place where they can really call out, but a lot of people have given up on God. I'm not saying God's not merciful and he's not gracious. He is. But when we're praying for people, if we'll pray according to the word, we'll get results. It will work. So he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Those are Christians. They're not people that have been put into a specific position by the church. Everybody in here is a saint. Okay? It's not saint. I mean, you could say, saint, put your name on. You're a saint. You can see this over and over. Look, I'm not going to go off on this. But just look down. This is over and over. This is, look down in Philippians, just to, you know, it's right the next book. So you'll see the beginning of Philippians. Look at verse 1. What does he say? Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. You see this over and over. He starts letters. How? To all the saints. See, the church has made those, you know, in certain religions, certain denominations, they're saints so-and-so, and they just pick out certain people. That's not the way the Bible says. You are a saint if you are a Christian. You're not specific people. You are a saint if you're a Christian. So when he's saying pray for all the saints, he's not going to talking about specific people. Anyway, by the Bible's definition, they always make people saints like after they're dead. So who is he speaking to? If he's saying to all what? All the dead people in the graves? This is who I'm speaking to here? To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi? Who is he addressing to his letter to? No, he's addressing it to Christians that are alive. He's not addressing it to the people that are going to be made saints, you know, however many years later because they saw some certain thing. Anyway, that's a side journey, but I'm telling you, you are a saint. We are saints, right? So back, when he's saying in verse 18 of Ephesians 6, he's saying, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. So he's talking about praying for Christians. We're Christians. Okay? So this is what we're talking about. And how do we do that? We pray with the Word and with the Spirit-led prayer. That's both in English and in tongues. But praying in the Spirit means you're praying. That can mean you can pray in the Spirit in English and pray in the Spirit in tongues. That means being led by the Spirit. How God, you're letting God pray through you, whether it's in a tongue you know or whether it's in a tongue you don't know. All right. So specifically then, how can we pray for people that are Christians, for the saints? Now let's start in John 14:26. Just to, you know, one thing that we mentioned when we were praying for the lost also applies to when we're praying for Christians, so I'm just going to go there first. John 14:26. I think this is so crucial and so important. We're going to spend, you know, several weeks here. We're not going to hurry through these things. We're going to go through. I could just hand you this sheet and say, okay, here's what we're going to pray. But we're going to go through it. We're going to spend time here because this is what will change things. The Word of God, if people have received the Word, then there are so many scriptures that are talking about how do we pray for that person. Because, see, God already has an inroad to those people's lives now. They are Christians. They have the Spirit of God. You're a different ball game now. So our prayer is different for people. God has, they're in the family. Now they just need to know essentially what they have. We all do. But John 14:26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the first thing that I wanted to mention is that the Holy Spirit, of course, we mentioned this, he is there to draw men unto Jesus, to exalt Jesus. We mentioned that last week. Of course, that is still in the context when a person's a Christian. He's going to remind you of who you are in Christ. He's going to remind you of your righteous position, your right standing with God the Father. So what happens? We hear the Word. Or we read the Word and we see something in here. We come to church or we hear somebody speak or we read it in a book and it reminds us of who we are in Christ. Well, then what happens? You go out into the world, you go to a job, you go into traffic and people are cutting you off or honking at you, or you go to a store and there's a long line and, you know, somebody's rude to you, you know, or at the checkout or, you know, whatever, umpteen number of things that can happen. And then what that does is start to wear you down to where it pushes the Word of God out and starts to put all this junk in to where you start looking at people, you forget who you are in Christ, and pretty soon you're not being reminded of the things that are really true. Has that ever happened to anybody? Or is that just me? You know, it's like your hair. I don't know about you, but I don't use a comb, but I put stuff in my hair, rough it up, you know. But I washed it. And I did something with it this morning. But I did that yesterday. And I did it the day before. And it didn't stay that way. It didn't stay all niced up. When I woke up, you know, my hair is all smushed down and, you know, standing up back here and smushed down here. And it doesn't look that great. So what do I do? You know, I wash it, put some stuff in it, and try to get it back to where I think it looks okay. And I'll have to do it tomorrow morning too. This is the same way with the Word of God. We put it in, but the world just tries to strip it all out and mess it up and get it to where your mind is not on God anymore. It's on everything here, and this is all there is. What do we have to do? We go back and remind ourselves of what Jesus said and what the Word says and what who we are in Christ. And if you blow it during the day, you don't, you know, and you mess up, and finally by the end of the day, you're just like, ah, forget it, man. I'm never going to get it. What's happened? Life is trying to knock you away from Jesus. You're trying to, the devil, the accuser, is trying to come and say, you're never going to make it. You're blowing it. You're not living the way God wants you to live. And so we need to be reminded of what Jesus has said, what the Bible has told us, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, that God has already done all things in Jesus. He's made of everything available. Yes, we may have messed up. That's exactly the reason Jesus came. If we didn't mess up, we wouldn't need Jesus. So yes, I've messed up. Yes, the world isn't perfect. Yes, that person cut me off. Yes, this person was rude to me, but I'm not warring against flesh and blood. I'm not looking at just people. I realize there's more to it than that. God, I'm so glad that Jesus has made a way for me. We need to remind ourselves. Well, everybody needs to be reminded. So what's the first thing? You know, it says in John 14:26 that we can just call on the Helper. And it says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. This is before he was sent. Jesus, this is Jesus speaking. Now Jesus has gone to the Father. Now the Father has sent the Holy Spirit, and he's here now. It says, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you, which is the Word. All things that Jesus has said, but who inspires what is being written in the Bible? The Holy Spirit inspired it, and who did he hear it from? Jesus. So it's what Jesus has spoken. So the Word is what we need to come back to and be reminded. So the first thing, you can pray for people. You know they've heard the Word. If they're a Christian, they've heard some Word. If it's just that the Word that, you know, Romans 10:8, that 8-10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that he died for your sins, and this, if it's just the Word that to get born again, they've heard some Word, but I'm sure they probably heard more Word. You can pray these things for yourself, all these things that we're going to be talking about. But we can pray the Word for people that God will bring back to their remembrance what the Word they've heard. That's the first thing, because the Word will change things. So that's the first thing we can pray for people, is that the Holy Spirit will bring back to their remembrance the Word they've heard. Ephesians, let's turn to Ephesians 1:15. Just wanted to start with that because we mentioned that in our previous messages. So just to start there, it's a way of connection. And then to go forth into really some major scriptures that we can pray for people. We may have heard some of these things, but we're just going to go through them, each of them. All these are scriptures that Paul said he was praying for people, saints. So we know if Paul, so these things, all we're going to go over, are not something we pulled out of the air. These are things that the Apostle Paul, who wrote a whole lot of this New Testament, said he was praying for Christians. So we know we're basing so much of what we believe on what was written by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So these are Holy Spirit-inspired prayers that we can pray for Christians, and we know they're dead on. They are exactly right because they're inspired by the Holy Spirit. We don't have to make them up. We can just insert the person's name, whether it be ourselves or whether it's somebody else, and pray the same things, and we can get results. We know they're exactly in line with the Word because they are the Word. So Ephesians 1:15. We're just going to read it all, and we're going to go back, and we'll read 15 through 23, and then we'll go back and going to break it down. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Again, Christians. What did he say? He started out though. Well, let's just read it through, and otherwise I'll be stopping myself the whole time. We'll come back. Let's just read it through. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What is he praying? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And just to finish it out in context, he's not necessarily praying that, but he's making a comment. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now that's a mouthful. That's a lot. So we're just going to go through it and break it down. And what are we praying for people? Because you can pray the majority of that for somebody. And so, you know, we're just going to go through this slowly. We're probably not going to get real far in all these scriptures, but we're going to go through all of them and make sure we cover what we need to cover. All right, so let's start back in verse 15. Now, we're talking about praying for other people. So, as we're looking at this, you could say, this is how, you know, we're going to go and break it down, but this is how we're talking about in all these prayers, praying for people. So he says, therefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in all my prayers. And then here's where you could start praying. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, or may give to, name the person. You could say it if you're praying it for yourself. May give to me the Spirit. I'll do it, you know, for myself, because you can pray these for yourself. You're a Christian. May give to me the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And then he goes on and describes a little bit. But that's how you would pray. You could pray for somebody else. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to Uncle John the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of his understanding being enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And you can go on like that. So that's what we're talking about doing. You insert whoever you want to pray for. And like I said, I have a whole sheet of these that already has that done, personalized for you. Now, you would have to go through. It's pretty easy once you have it personalized for you to mentally switch it out for somebody else and just to pray for a number of people. That way you don't have to have 15 copies of it. You just insert whoever, or you pray for several people at once, whatever. But I just want to put that in the back of your mind. That's what we're talking about doing as we're going through these. So, in this case, in this first, in Ephesians, what are we talking about praying? Okay, first of all, in verse 15, before he gets going in his prayer, what does he say? Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, after I found out you're a Christian, then what did I do? And your love for all the saints. Then I started praying for you. So he started doing this. Okay, you're a Christian. Here's what you need to know. And he starts praying. I'm going to pray for you what I believe is very important for you to know. Verse 16, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay, here's where his prayer is starting. So like we said, he's starting to pray. What do I want to pray that would change in your life? What do we want to pray that will change in other people's lives that we can pray right along with Paul for certain people? Number one, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to the person you're praying for, whether it's you or somebody else, may give to the person the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That you would have a revelation, spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of Jesus. That you would know, have a revelation in the knowledge about Him. What specifically? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you know the light's going to go on, that you would see certain things. What? That you may know what is the hope of His calling, what's the expectation of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? How rich the inheritance that we have through Jesus is. So remember, we're praying this for somebody. I want you to know, you'd be enlightened in the knowledge of God, and you would know how rich your inheritance is, what you are sitting on. You've been giving all this through Jesus. Do you know what has really been given to you? This is what Paul's saying. He goes, I pray that you would just have a revelation of what Jesus has already done for you. In verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, the light bulbs going on. Remember, these people are already Christians, but they can still have a certain differing amounts of understanding of what that means to be a Christian and what has been purchased for them. The same way that people can be all citizens of the U.S., but some people have read the Constitution and know what their rights are, and some people are like, meh. And so they can give up their rights under certain circumstances. You know, we have certain rights. If you don't want to go down this path, but if you were being arrested, you have rights. If you don't know them, you can give them up. But you're still a citizen of the United States just as much as somebody that's read up and maybe is a constitutional lawyer or whatever. That person gets pulled over, it's a whole different story. He knows what's going on. He knows exactly what can be happen and what can't. But you're still both citizens, right? You could be somebody that's as ignorant as anybody and just completely oblivious, or you can have somebody that is very, very knowledgeable, and it's two different things can happen. But they're both citizens. Same way, you can be a Christian and have all the rights and privileges that are in Christ Jesus, yet same circumstance happens to you, and the person's just like, well, I don't know, it's God's fault. God's doing this to me. Whatever. They can have a certain reaction to what's going on because they don't know, or that's what Paul's saying, I want you to know what's going on. I want you to know what you have. It all starts there. If we don't know what we have, we can't use it. So when we're praying for people, we can be praying. Essentially, he's saying in verse 18 that the light bulb would go on. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. How much the greatness of His power toward us who believe. That you have so much power working on your behalf. And He's saying, I want you to know how great that power is. And what does He say then? I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. He's saying now, how great is that power? What can I compare it to? Or how can I describe it? It's according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. So what's He saying? This power that's working toward us who believe is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That power that raised Him from the dead, that power that basically that paid for all our sins, that sacrifice that took all that, raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand of the Father, that's the same power that's working toward us. So it's no little power. It's no something small off. He's saying, this is the power that you have working towards you as a Christian. This is what I want you to know, to get a hold of how much power you have at your disposal. That is already there. It'd be like telling a citizen, you know, going through a class, I want you to know how much you have really been given. This is not just some title, citizen of the U.S. This is what this means. I want you to understand it. Only in this case, we're talking about this huge amount of power that has been made available to us as Christians according to the working of the mighty power which God used to raise Jesus from the dead. Now, what does he say? This is all, again, we wouldn't have to pray all this, but he is trying to describe what is this power, and he keeps on going. In verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Those are demons, basically. All the powers, might and dominion, everything that is named in this earth. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in this, in that which is to come. So he's saying, this power that raised Christ from the dead, seated him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus above any other authority. This is what he's saying. You as a Christian, I want you to get a hold of the fact that you are sitting on this power that you have resident inside of you. The Holy Spirit indwells us, is the same power that raised Christ from the dead and is above every other authority. This is what I want you to get a hold of. This is what I want you to get a revelation of. That you are not under any other authority anymore. That as a Christian now, you are not under the authority of Satan. Demons don't have any authority over you. None of the spiritual realm like that has any authority, because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. This is what I want you to get a hold of. This is what Paul is saying. So when we pray in for Christians, when we pray for ourselves, we can all have a greater revelation of this. We can say, God, and we can pray this and insert our own name. Show me more of what it means. Show me that power that resides inside of me. Because when you understand that, you'll walk around with that understanding and in a different way than when you think, oh, I just don't have anything. Well, yeah, God, I'm saved, but I really, you know, I'm getting beat around by life. If we have this revelation, the more, it's not like something I think we just arrive at. I think we'll just be getting more and more revelation. The more revelation we have of that, of what Jesus has actually done, the different our outward behaviors, the different, it's going to be different how we walk. So that's the first thing Paul is saying. So we can pray this for other people. We can pray it for ourselves. That if you see somebody or yourself, I know this is there, but I don't really understand it. Or you see somebody else, they're Christians, but they really don't understand what's happened. This is how one thing we can pray for them. God, show them. Open their eyes. Open the eyes of the understanding so that they see what they have. First thing. And if we would just take that and just pray it, and pray it diligently, that for somebody or for ourselves, I believe we'd see change. Now, we're going to go through a lot of other scriptures. I think that's a good place, you know, to stop for today. But each of these scriptures, I mean, don't feel like, oh, we have this list of scriptures. Now we got to go through all of them. And because it'll just become, you know, just getting yourself in a rut. Just be led and start, just take one. And if this is the one, just take it and start doing that one. You know, just take one. Don't feel like you got to do everything. No, we just be led by God. But these are all weapons. These are all tools in the toolbox. It doesn't mean you have to use all of them at the same time. It means you have them at your disposal. And it's just a process. Then we know how we can pray. We don't have to be in the dark saying, well, gosh, I see this person. I want him to change. Or I see myself. I want to change, but I don't know how. This is one answer. is just to be praying for ourselves, for other people. And we're going to go into more, go through different scriptures, but, you know, it's a good starting place.